The recording that you're about to listen to is a talk from the City Bible Forum. We would appreciate you respecting our copyright by not making copies of this talk or altering the content in any way. We hope that you find the material beneficial. If you would like more information on the City Bible Forum, you can visit us on the web at citybibleforum.org.
Thanks very much for having me back. So let me jump right into this. Back a bit. Good. So this talk's a little bit different from last week. So let me just give you the sort of the spirit of the talk. The spirit of talk is nicely captured by this quote from Bertrand Russell, where he said, "The point of philosophy is to start with something so simple as to not seem to be worth stating, and to end with something so paradoxical that no one will believe it." Right. This is going to attempt to be kind of the scientific version of that. So I'm going to start with something very simple and very mundane and show that underneath it, if we try to understand that, actually something extraordinarily deep about the universe and basically every successful scientific idea we've ever had comes out of that. So that's just a bit of a warning. Things are going to seem to start off a bit mundane, but trust me, we'll conclude in a blaze of glory very soon. So stick with me. It's basically my warning that the start of this talk is going to seem a bit boring. Okay, so here's my opening experiment. It's this. It's a glass of water with some ice in it. Now, we're not going to sit and watch this because we all know what happens next. Okay, if you put this down and just leave it alone, the ice will slowly melt, the water will get colder, and then when the ice is all gone, the water will slowly warm back up to room temperature, and then, if you watch very, very closely, nothing else will happen. Okay? If we just left it in the corner, we would have a tepid glass of water there, and we could come back if we put some glider up over the top of it so that it didn't evaporate during if there was heat. We could come back next year and it would still be there. So we've all seen that process 1,000 times, the one shown in fast motion there on your left. We've all seen ice melt. We can see something a little bit weird about this whole situation, though, if we think about watching a video of that playing in reverse, okay? So take this glass of water a year from now. It would spend an entire year sitting in the corner doing absolutely nothing. And then one fateful September morning, spontaneously would start pushing a whole heap of its energy back out into the room, cooling down its water, and then producing ice from that, and not only the water itself would actually start warming up as it pushed all of its energy out into the room and created ice cubes. So if I show that video in reverse, we see something weird. Right? You've never seen a tepid glass of water spontaneously produce ice at room temperature. So there's something going on in our universe, okay? The process on the left, the ice melting, we've seen 1,000 times. No one's ever seen that happen, ever. So there's something weird and kind of asymmetric, backwards about the way the universe works. And this is very deep to the way we interact with the universe. Okay? If you want to shatter a glass, just throw it at the ground. And any old way of throwing it at the ground will do. Beautiful bit of slow motion in the background here. If you want to watch this, it's lovely. You don't have to throw it in the ground in any sort of particular way, right? You want to smash something, just drop it onto a hard surface, and that will happen. If, on the other hand, you want to reconstruct the glass that you had, what you don't try to do is do that in reverse, right? If I show this video backwards, we're going to see another process that has never happened in the history of the universe, right? What you don't do is take all the shards of glass and scatter them around on the floor and then make the sound of glass shattering in reverse and hope that all of the sound waves and all the bits of glass will come back together. It's about to refuse itself if you want to get on board for this. Ready? There we go. That mirror at the back is really useful. I can watch the screen. Okay. So here's something about our universe which is so fundamental it barely needs pointing out. There are certain processes, not all of them, like if you see a grandfather clock, if you run that movie backwards, it looks like a grandfather clock ticking. So not all processes, but there are processes in our universe which go one way and not the other. We've all seen ice melt. No one in the history of the universe has ever seen ice spontaneously freeze at room temperature. Here's the weird thing about that, which will sort of propel us forward. If you take a very, very zoomed in close-up look at ice melting, it would look a little bit like this. You would have ice is just a crystal, so there would be some set structure of ice atoms here, which are green for some reason, sorry. And what happens is another molecule of either air or water comes along to the ice crystal and knocks one of the pieces out, and so you have a molecule of ice leaving the ice phase, and becoming either part of water or gas or whatever. Okay. Here's the weird thing. If I run that video backwards, the process I see doesn't look particularly weird. And in particular, in terms of physics, there's nothing in the laws of physics that says anything different about those two processes. So far as we can tell, when we look at the physics of the fundamental pieces out of which the universe is made, they're totally time symmetric. They don't care whether it's going forwards in time or backwards in time. You hit reverse, right? If you have some process and you describe it and you say to the laws of physics, can that happen? And it says yes. If you hit reverse on everything and send it backwards and you say to the laws of physics, is that all right? It will say yes. And so this time asymmetry we see in the universe around us is not in the laws. It could have been otherwise, right? If you take a video of a game of chess and you run it backwards, right, you will see a process that breaks the rules of chess. You'll see pieces jumping back onto the board. You'll see pawns moving backwards. That doesn't happen in chess. But that's not what's happening here. You might think, why doesn't water spontaneously freeze? Well, it's against the laws of nature. Well, as far as we know, it's not against the laws of nature. So here's the fundamental puzzle. It's going to propel us onwards, all right? Some macroscopic, big-scale processes are irreversible. They go this way, they don't go that way. You can break a glass, you can't unbreak a glass, right? You have to do a very different process if you want to put the glass back together. But those macroscopic processes, like ice melting, are simply large conglomerations of microscopic processes, and those microscopic processes are all reversible. They don't care about this way versus that way in time. So that's the fundamental puzzle we want to start off with. You might think, okay, it's got something to do with when you've got lots of things together, right? It's not, right, if you want to ice melting, this is billions and billions of atoms all interacting together. So maybe there's something that atoms do collectively will explain this thing. Now, at the start, this seems like it's going to work. Suppose we took a box. This is classic physics, right? Let's have a box with some gas in it. We do this all the time for some reason. Okay? We have a box. We have some particles of gas in it. And we put them all on one side of the box and we say, all right, jumble them up. What happens next? Right? There's no actual barrier in the middle there. Well, what's probably going to happen is one of them is going to cross over the barrier to the other side of the box. And the interesting bit is now, what happens next? Well, suppose there's 99 on one side and one on the other. Chances are the next atom that crosses the center line is one of the 99 and not the one that was sent to the other side. And so what this tells you is, as time goes on, chances are everything's going to even out. Right? This looks like an irreversible process. We will reach a state like the equilibrium in the glass where things are just crossing over willy-nilly and we've reached some sort of equilibrium state. So the way we can understand this in terms of, you know, microphysics, this is called statistical physics, it's all lovely and fantastic if you're a physicist, is that when we had all, there's fewer ways to arrange the particles so that they're all on the left-hand side, and there's more ways to arrange them so that they're evenly distributed. So just think about, if I had to choose how I want, I've got my 100 particles, and I want to choose how to do the fewer ways one, right, all on one side. I have really no choice. I need to put them all over that side. Whereas if I can put them on either side now, I've got some choice. I can put this one here and that one there, or I can swap them over. I've got actually a whole heap of choices. And it really blows up quite quickly because it's a combinatorial problem. There's one way of doing that. Even if there's 24 particles here, I think the number's like 3 million ways of doing that. So in a room full of air where you've got billions and billions of particles, this actually makes a whole lot of sense. So we can now kind of understand something about why ice melts. Not in terms of the positions of the particles, but in terms of the distribution of energy. Right? We have a situation with the ice and the water where there's less energy in the ice and more energy in the water, and if we just distributed everything evenly, there would be more ways of doing that, and so, voila, ice melts. Now, is that the answer to our problem? Well, not quite, because we've still got the fact that the laws, the fundamental laws, don't care about forwards versus backwards. So here's a way of thinking about why this isn't a complete answer. Let's take a middle time. The ice is now half melted. And we use this kind of reasoning. You say, what do we think happens next? And this kind of reasoning says the thing that happens next is the ice becomes fully melted. Big tick. That's what actually happens. All wonderful. Okay. The next thing you ask is, okay, given that I have a half-melted ice glass, what is the most likely thing that came before? So I'm starting in the middle, reasoning backwards, not relying on my memory, right? And the answer is not, unfortunately, an unmelted ice with unmelted ice in it, a glass with unmelted ice in it. That's the wrong answer. What is actually the most likely thing that came before is the completely tepid water, because there's more ways to do that. If you want to get to an improbable state, the easiest way to do that is from a more probable state, not from an even less probable state. So here's the problem. Okay, if I start with the universe as we see it and rely on this kind of reasoning about what is more and less likely, I'll get the future correct. That's all wonderful. What will happen to that ice in 20 minutes? Fantastic. If I start here and apply reversible laws of nature, the same reasoning should apply backwards in time, and I should predict that that ice spontaneously refroze. Right? Spontaneously froze, right? Which is not what happened. So here's the thing. It seems like what we're doing here, right? Hang on, what are we doing? Big cross. Okay, good. So here's the problem. Because those laws are still symmetric, if I start now, I have to make the same predictions both ways in time. And one of those predictions forwards in time is absolutely spot on and gives us the whole laws of thermodynamics, and it's just fantastic physics. Utterly wonderful. And the other way is basically the worst predictions we've ever seen, right? Predicts everything wrong. Doesn't get a thing right, okay? It predicts it not that the universe in the past was in a lower entropy, more organized state. It predicts everything wrong. So there's something missing, right? This is not just an exercise in getting physics wrong. There's something missing in this picture. Okay? So this overall trend that we've been talking about, something irreversible, is known as the second law of thermodynamics. We can link all of these cases to something called entropy. I'll just call it disorder. Our universe shows a consistent transition from order to disorder, and that's what's happening in the glass. But why is this happening? We need something more than these time-symmetric laws. Right? We're missing a piece. And the interesting thing is what that piece kind of has to be. Okay? It's not in the laws. It's not in the fact that these are large macroscopic systems with lots of things in them. Okay? So what's left, if you think about fundamental physics, is what's known as the initial condition, or the boundary condition. So a set of laws tells you how something changed. What you need to know how the system behaves is how it started off. And so the answer to this little conundrum, it's been quite becoming more and more apparent to us, is that we have to make a statement known as the past hypothesis, which just simply says the universe began in a highly ordered state. Now that seems like a cheat, because it is, right? But it's really the only option we have left. Okay, it is an absolutely fundamental feature of the universe we see around us. There are processes that go one way in time and not another. The laws of nature will not explain that. The fact that there are large conglomerations of individual pieces won't explain that. Really, the only thing left is the initial conditions, how the universe started off. So the trick to this is, the problem we had was if you start at any particular point, all your predictions forward in time are great, and all your predictions backwards in time are terrible. So the cheat is, apply this assumption at the beginning of time, and then you can't go backwards in time from the beginning, right? Is that... sounds exactly as cheating as it should be. Okay? So, here was our problem. Start in the middle, totally time-symmetric laws. The future, melted ice, fantastic. The past, melted ice, oops, that's totally wrong. But if I stamp down the past hypothesis at the beginning of time, I just say the universe started, bang, in a very ordered state, I need to now take that account. And so the question is not, I start in the middle here with half-melted ice, what came before, but it's, here I am with some unmelted ice, and the universe began in a highly ordered state, where was the ice 10 minutes ago? And if I do that, I get the right answer. I get an answer that agrees with all my memories. I get an answer that the ice was in fact totally unmelted. Okay? So we can give that one a great big tick. So the interesting thing is what we have to assume about the universe in order to explain it. Right? All of these processes, these very mundane, boring processes, are all pointing back towards the same initial, orderly beginning of the universe, which we have to stick there. Now, the interesting thing is, we can... sorry. Battling a bit of a cold. Okay. We're all good. The interesting thing is, we can sort of hit reverse on the history of the universe and look back at what all these more ordered states were in the past. Okay? So, we can ask, could there be earlier states in the universe that have even more entropy? So, for example, the ice came from a freezer. The freezer is running on electricity. Electricity, welcome to Australia, is from coal. Coal is basically sunlight that's being captured by plants and turned into very useful things that burn. Right? Sunlight is itself a very highly ordered state. We can keep going back in time. The nuclear reactions at the center of the sun come from a very ordered state, and then stars form as gas clouds. Huge gas clouds collapse and ignite nuclear reactions, and those clouds can collapse because the universe began in a very smooth state. Right? That collapse is where you get a whole heap of useful, fascinating things happen. So if the universe had started in an already collapsed state, full of black holes or something, all of that's not going to happen. But our universe starts off very smooth, and so there's all this potential to do all this interesting stuff like make stars and make nuclear reactions and sunlight and coal and freezers and ice in our drinks. Okay? We can follow that whole process. So at the moment, when we trace back to this orderly beginning state, we end up with a point in the early universe when everything was almost perfectly smooth. Okay? And the question is that the final story? Is that the beginning? And the answer is, well, maybe. Or maybe we're not done yet. But the interesting thing comes when we say, okay, could there be something before then that explains how the universe came to be smooth? Yeah, maybe. I mean, we're not done with the universe, right? That's why I still have a job for a while. What could have come before? And if we think of it in terms of order, or in terms of entropy, right? Low entropy means highly ordered. There's only a couple of options. Either it's a low entropy, highly ordered state, in which case it just becomes the new past hypothesis, the new initial condition. It's the new source of all the order in our universe. Okay, we've just gone from, just as we did all the transition back to stars and to, you know, highly ordered, highly smooth state, we just go one step further and that's our the initial state. Okay, or it's a higher entropy state, and then it's up against the second law of thermodynamics that says that order becomes disorder, and that would be a process that goes against all those probabilities we talked about before. It would be the ridiculously unlikely fluctuation, it would be the ice unmelting, and so the second law simply says if that's your theory, it's wrong. It goes up against the second law. There's a wonderful quote from a physicist called Eddington which says, you know, if your theory is against observations, well, they get those wrong sometime. If it's against someone else's theory, then, you know, don't worry about that too much. But if it's against the second law of thermodynamics, I can give it no hope. It can only collapse in uttermost humiliation. End quote. Okay? So you don't mess with the second law. The other option is, okay, these processes are still possible, like ice spontaneously fluctuating out of room temperature water. That could happen, so maybe we're waiting around for a fluctuation. Here's the problem with that idea. If you're waiting for a miracle, what you'll get is the cheapest miracle, right? Okay. If you need six numbers to win the lottery, say, and you're just doing it by chance, what you'll get is the six numbers you need and not anything else that you might not need. So if we're waiting around for a fluctuation to give us the universe we know, the simplest thing to fluctuate into existence is not any of the stuff we think happened, but the glass of ice. Right? If the present state of the universe now. Right? All of our memories turn out to be false. If you want to, it's that we're stuck ourselves in the middle again of this problem, right? If you're waiting on a miracle, you'll get the cheapest miracle you need. So you won't get the beautiful, low-entropy, orderly universe we think we see. You'll just get the present and a whole heap of false memories, because that's cheaper. It's a cheaper miracle. And so the problem with this is, if you can explain our universe this way, at the expense of all your memories being false. Because your memories are part of the order in the universe. Okay? They're part of the problem. But those are the only kind of options. So, could there be an even earlier state that has even more order? Yes. But it has to have more order, because it won't work any other way. Let me just quickly, to bring this to a conclusion. Yeah, oh yeah, 2 minutes. Let me give one example of this from history. Newton looks at the solar system down the bottom there. And he noticed there's a very highly ordered place. Like, all the planets are going in the same direction around. They're all nice, sort of neatly spaced. They're all spinning the same way around. They're all in a nice, smooth plane. So it's not the fact that one's going this way, one's going that way, they're going in opposite directions. It's all lovely and orderly. And Newton says, I see here the hand of a creator who has ordered it this way. And then along comes, I say about a century later, or 70 years later, comes Laplace, who says, I have a scientific theory for how we could produce the thing at the bottom. What you start with is a rotating cloud, which will then collapse under gravity. This is called the nebula hypothesis. And so what he says is, I have a scientific process which will start with this state here, the one at the top, and produce the solar system. And we can run our argument again. This is not quite how it played out in history, but it's how it could have. Right? This is all before statistical physics really got off the ground. So there's only two options here. Either what Laplace is proposing is that a less orderly state became a more orderly state, and that's how we got the order that Newton saw. And if that's what he's proposing, then he's wrong, because that's against the second law, right? Deepest humiliation and all of that. Okay. So the only other option is we have to reverse these labels. And the cloud itself must be, in some sense, that we can understand, a more orderly state. And so here's what Newton could say, right? If Newton comes along and says, he who created them set them in order, if he sees order in the solar system, and then Laplace says, I've got a scientific theory to how to make a solar system. If Laplace says the nebula by condensing transform into a star, then here's all Newton's got to do. You just point that comment further back along the line and you've got even more order to look at. Right? If Newton is amazed by the order in the solar system, he should also be amazed by the order in the cloud. In fact, more amazed, because it's more orderly. It must be. Otherwise, it's against the second law of thermodynamics and it's wrong. So here's the interesting thing. Two more slides. We're nearly done. Every successful scientific explanation today, right, the ones that survive the second law of thermodynamics, assume that the universe began in an orderly state. Right? They either do that or they're wrong. And so laws are only part of the story. Why is our universe orderly? Right? It started off orderly. If someone tries to tell you a story in which science explains how order came from chaos, never happened. In the history of the universe, never happened. Because order comes from chaos. The problem is our memories are part of that order. And if order comes from chaos, our memories are all wrong. Because our memories, remember, are a more organized state. So last week I asked you to imagine looking at that last final chalkboard of physics, right? We've totally solved our universe, like the chess pieces on the chessboard, working out the rules of chess. So what I've hopefully shown you today is there's something else going to be on that board, not just the laws, but at some point we're just going to have to stamp down the past hypothesis and say the universe began in an orderly state, stamp that down, and that's the way it is. So that is a fundamental feature of our universe, that it began in an orderly state, and if, like Newton, you see order in the universe around us today, then the progress of science, every progress of science, has only added more order for you to see. So I will leave it there. Thank you for listening to me again. How orderly are earthquakes, hurricanes, and volcanic explosions? From a physics point of view, very. any process which tends to take this state and turn it into that state is an explanation from a more orderly state to a less orderly state. What is the miracle in the disorder of natural events? I'm not quite sure what that's supposed to mean. So, order is only one of the ways that you might want to talk about the stuff that happens in the universe, right? There's also complexity. So, in that case, the universe starts off simple and becomes more complex. So that is true, of course. The only way that can happen if it starts off orderly. Because if you start off in a highly disordered state, that's a simple state, and it won't change into anything else. But there's also the question of desirability, all right? That's not really a physics, right? There's no, here's the state of the universe, how nice is it? That's a very, that's not a physical, quantity. But that's another, that's not something I've talked about. So the question is really, is the universe as nice as we'd expect it to be if there was some, orderly thing? So that's basically the problem of evil, which is not really what I'm here to talk about. But it certainly, as I talked about last week, it's a universe in which our lives are neither, to be moral, if goodness is an important thing, to be moral is neither trivial nor guaranteed. It's not that no matter what I do, the universe ends up nice and lovely and wonderful, or no matter what I do, the universe is just complete schmozzle and I can't change anything. If you want to be good and do good, you've really got to, grit your teeth and work on it. So it's a morally meaningful universe. All right, let me try and... Questions have suddenly multiplied, so let me try and blast through them. If I don't fully answer them, just come and find me afterwards. If you saw a glass of water turn into ice before your very eyes, what would you think? All right, notice I said at room temperature, right? So you can, of course, put some glass of water in the freezer. So what if it turned out we were wrong about the laws of nature? Well, then we're going to have to rethink what we think about the universe, of course. If the evidence we get tomorrow is in contradiction with all the evidence we've gained thus far, then it might turn out that the universe is completely irrational, random kind of place. Every bit of evidence we have thus far and every finding of science is that it's not a completely random place. It has laws that obey certain things, and in particular the order in the universe at the beginning is so low that there are very only extremely rare exceptions to that, and this would be one of those. Is it possible for things to happen outside or against scientific laws? Are there miracles? So I think of scientific laws as kind of a human thing. That's us trying to understand the universe. The question is whether anything happens which is not within the abilities of natural things. And the answer to that is, well, it depends whether there is anything other than natural things. If there is something else out there, then of course something else could happen. But if there isn't, then it can't, right? So the question of whether miracles are possible is precisely the question of whether God exists or not. So I don't think there's an a priori thing you can say about that. I think it comes down, in particular, if I say... it's hard to think of a better example than someone rising from the dead, right? So let's go with that one. If I say that guy claimed he was going to rise from the dead and then did, what science will say about that is, if that happened, it didn't happen due to natural causes. Which is exactly what everyone else is saying about it, right? The progress of science is saying, if it happened, it was a miracle, but that's all science can say. It's beyond the ability of natural things, because science studies natural things. You can't say a priori whether it happened or not. That's a question for history. Can you comment on Krauss's concept of something coming from nothing? In 25 words or less. So Krauss is a good cosmologist but a terrible philosopher because he doesn't respect philosophy. So if you went to the event that was organised by City Bible Forum, there was a very patient discussion of what the word nothing means. It's a term of negation, it means not anything. So I think there's a huge equivocation there between what nothing means in the sentence, why is there something rather than nothing, and what nothing means when a cosmologist says maybe the universe came from nothing. That should be in quotes. What they mean is from a previous state of some type. It's quite explicit. If you read the papers that he's referring to, the scientific ones, what nothing means is a state which isn't describable by ordinary space and time. It's kind of a quantum fluctuation of some sort. That's not nothing in any meaning, in the sense of why is there something rather than nothing. Does the arrow of time and Priyajin, I assume that, is that, fit into what you said? Yeah, so Priyajin has a book. So Ilya Priyajin is he still alive? I think he must be. Was a physicist who won the Nobel Prize for thinking about all of this sort of stuff, and particularly how systems, when they're way away from equilibrium, can do some very funky and interesting things. He has a book which is called Order Out of Chaos, right? And if you read the book, he gets to the question of where did all the order in the universe come from? It's in a very short paragraph near the end. And he basically says, that's a question for cosmology, I'm not a cosmologist, and moves on. Like, I read this whole book to find out what you thought about that, and that's all he says. So this is all completely consistent. What Priyajin is talking about is, so we think of the ice melts back to room temperature to water, and that's a very regular, normal transition. What Priyajin noticed was sometimes when you put a system way away from equilibrium, it doesn't come back in a nice, straightforward fashion. It does something amazing and funky on the way back. So there's some really interesting stuff happening there, but that doesn't in any way... it still must obey... He hasn't overridden the second law of thermodynamics, right? Is there any way of knowing if the Big Bang Theory is correct, or is it really just an assumption? It's a theory that makes predictions, and a lot of those predictions turn out to be correct, and so... And a lot of alternative ideas we've had about the universe also make predictions and don't turn out to be correct, and so that's why the Big Bang Theory is at the top of the pile for the moment. Right? Is all you say as a scientist, right? Here's an idea about how the universe is. If it was true, it would predict things like how much helium there would be left over from the very early universe, and it gets that right. How much deuterium, it gets that right. How much lithium, and it kind of gets that one a bit wrong, but never mind. Paper over that. It would predict that we would see galaxies moving away from us. It would predict some relic radiation from the early universe in a particular form. It gets those right. And so, for the moment, it's doing fine. It's not perfect, but it's predicting more and better things than any other alternative theory. But tomorrow, a better theory turns up, then we all go for that one. So it's not just an assumption. I mean, a scientific theory is an assumption that is precise enough that you can get predictions out of it, and you can go check whether those predictions are correct. That is a theory. So in that sense, it's a theory, right? It's not a fact, because it's not observable directly, but it's doing all right, is the short story. How is life less orderly than non-life, which was how the universe started? Yeah, exactly. So this is another example. Suppose you look around, you see all the lovely life forms around us, and then someone comes along, we'll call him Chuck, and says, I've got a physical process which can start off with a very simple form of life and form the marvellous, wonderful forms of life we see around us. Now, again, only two options. He's either saying that I can turn a less orderly state into a more orderly state, and he's wrong because that's against the second law, or he's starting with a more orderly state. In this case, the Earth is not a closed system. It's the sun. Right, the sun has a phenomenal amount of order because it's huge and it can pump out extremely useful radiation consistently for billions of years. Right, now that is not a sufficient condition to turn non-life into life, right? You might just bake all your chemicals and nothing interesting happens. But in terms of this bookkeeping, physics bookkeeping about order and disorder in terms of entropy, which is a physical quantity, that all checks out. How it actually happened is another story entirely, but in terms of just balancing the books of order versus order, beginning versus order at the end, that all ticks off because the sun is such a phenomenal source of low entropy. Is there any other explanation other than God that created order in the universe? If you're a naturalist, I assume you can either assume that something in this presentation, there's a gap in the logic that could come along, Or, I mean, if you're a naturalist, the whole point is that the ultimate laws, whatever ends up on that blackboard, is just the ultimate principles of reality, and that's all there is to it. And so you can just say, well, I don't, whatever ends up there, I don't have to explain that any further. I don't need any more explanation of order. The whole point of the game is you put some stuff on the blackboard and then explain the rest of the universe in terms of the blackboard, right? So the other explanation would be to say with naturalism that this initial state doesn't need an explanation, right? The whole point of the fundamental laws of physics is they don't... We're done, that's it. Now, if you think that's... we've got to the final blackboard, I still have a whole heap of questions, then you'll look somewhere else for an answer. Finally, Luke, how did you come to Christ? It's a very good question. So I was raised in a Christian home, and so was brought up that way. It was a young earth creationist home, so that leads to some very interesting conversations between myself and my dad these days. You noticed all the billions of years going on back there. So part of what drove my career in science was actually people keep telling me that science had something to say about Christianity at a very deep level, and the more I read the scientists from the past and the more I looked into modern science, it was going one way and not the other, right? It was showing me a universe with rationality, with order and laws and all of that underneath that, comparing that with naturalism, where my curiosity about the universe would have to reach a point and then just totally leave that alone and just stop asking questions, the belief that there is a creator God seemed to point me to, still in the right direction. So with that, I will thank you for your questions and say thank you for coming again.
The recording that you have just listened to is from the City Bible Forum. For more information about City Bible Forum events in your city, or to order other talks, please visit citybibleforum.org.